Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Ohio, Michigan, and 12 other states, I think, await Congress's decision on whether to extend unemployment benefits again. One best-case scenario is that Congress will approve another extension, but only one, if we're lucky, again. But what does that mean? We invited Doug Lumpkin. He's Ohio's director of the Department of Jobs and Family Services to talk about what that means. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you, Ann. Good to be here.
And also joining us, Brian O'Connor. He's the personal finance editor and columnist for the Detroit News. He's going to tell us how much worse off the state of Michigan is and how they'll fare in such a situation. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, Ann?
I'm good. You know, Brian is known for his humor, but there isn't a lot of humor in this topic, is there, Brian?
No, there isn't. Right now, we've got about a little over 700,000 officially unemployed people in Michigan. That's up more than 200,000 from a year ago. And when these unemployment benefits were last expiring at the end of December, it would have left about 70,000 Michigan residents not able to extend their benefits. In fact, just in the amount of time that Congress spent debating the issue in December, 200,000 people across the country had their benefits expire before they were returned. So this is a serious thing for people.
Doug, let's talk about the numbers in Ohio. How many folks are officially unemployed in Ohio right now?
In Ohio, at the present time, we have approximately 650,000 individuals who are unemployed. And similar to what Brian has said, we have seen that number grow from about 300,000 since the start of this recession.
And how much in unemployment checks go out each week in Ohio?
Well, that number from a monthly basis varies, but approximately about 500 million a month.
And how many with benefits in Ohio are due to expire at the end of this month?
Well, I don't have an exact number on that end. Similarly, as Brian mentions, the way it kind of works is that the benefits have been extended three times, and you're on what's called different tiers. And as your tier, you expire, if there is no extension, you will come off. And what will occur is when we had taken a look before, the numbers will gradually grow as the number of individuals benefits expire. So there will be approximately 500,000 over the course of time whose eligibility will only be for the first 26 weeks.
You know, Brian, you mentioned you used the phrase officially unemployed. What do you mean by that? And what are the overall unemployment figures if we have them?
Well, we have more like maybe one in between seven or eight who are officially unemployed. Those are people who had payroll jobs, are available for work, are looking for work, or receiving benefits, and things like that. More accurately, probably one in five residents of Michigan are unemployed under the larger definition. These are either people who don't count because maybe they have a part-time job, they have some side income, they didn't work long enough to be qualifying for unemployment benefits. You get a job and automatically qualify. You have to have so many quarters out of the last four or five quarters that you've worked, and so on and so forth. Then there are also discouraged workers who have just, stopped working, so that when the survey is done, they're saying, well, we're not looking for work. I've decided I'm, taking care of my mom and living with her, or whatever it is. So you get to a larger figure of maybe, 20% of unemployment in Michigan. Right now, it's a little over 14%. Mm-hmm. But in areas like the city of Detroit, you could have an unofficial unemployment rate of maybe 50%.
Do you find a lot of your personal finance is more focused on helping people cope with things like unemployment versus how to manage their investments these days?
Yeah. It's a big, you know, everybody felt they were a real fantastic investor when the stock market was making 20% gains. And suddenly people don't want to talk about that. I've done stories in the last month on things like the earned income tax credit, which is, you know, a refundable tax credit that gives cash to low-income workers. A lot of people who've never qualified for that before will probably qualify for it in both Michigan and Ohio this year. On things like the health care tax credit, which is paying for health care for people who whose pensions have been taken over by the Pension Guarantee Board or who lost their jobs under the Trade Adjustment Act to foreign competition. And I, you know, ended the year doing an 11-part series on my own personal budget, trying to cut $1,000 out of my family budget. So it's definitely a focus on what some people are calling the new frugality and what you might more just likely call survival tactics.
Doug, I was surprised to hear that some people have had been on unemployment and receiving unemployment benefits for as long as 99 months.
Or
99 weeks.
The maximum that you could have been on is 99 weeks. Okay. If you were to take advantage of all of the extensions that have occurred at various times.
So if you've just been unemployed for the last 12 weeks and you're getting your benefits and they cut off the extension or they don't approve an extension, you would be cut off just as if someone had been on for 99 weeks.
That is correct. So one of the ironies, not pleasant ones, that in that example you gave, that person who had been on, let's say, for 12 weeks, they could go for another 14 weeks, but after that point, they would not be eligible to continue. Whereas you could have another person who has been on for 50 weeks, and they would be allowed to finish their tier. And so you have some of this unevenness as a possibility where you're on only for 26 and your neighbor got 56, for example. You could have some of those kinds of situations.
If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Dan Fisher and my guest, Doug Lumpkin. He is director of Ohio's Department of Jobs and Family Services. And also on the phone from Detroit, Brian O'Connor. He is a personal finance editor and columnist for the Detroit News. Doug, what about folks? Well, when we talk about Congress granting the extensions, what we're really talking about is the state being able to borrow more money. Is that right?
Well, I need to make a distinction there. Okay. And when Congress approves an extension, those extensions are totally and 100% paid for by the federal government.
Okay.
The borrowing that is taking place now, Ohio is at 10.9% unemployment. At that level of unemployment, the first 26 weeks, if you will, are picked up by the state. And so we are not able to cover the total cost of that first 26 weeks, and that is the borrowing that is taking place currently. But the federal extensions are 100% federally paid for.
Okay. Then, Brian, when I was reading, you were writing about that the federal government was waiving its interest on borrowing by the state of Michigan for its unemployment benefits.
Right. Well, all the employers, and we're not the only state, mm-hmm. all the employers who in the state pay into basically a trust fund, and it's based on sort of your turnover rate at your business, typically, so that's one thing. When people hear about people getting extended unemployment benefits and more people going on unemployment and things like that, you know, it's not coming out of, like, your property tax or your sales tax, at least in Michigan. It's coming out of this trust fund tax. So employers who typically put more people into unemployment are typically paying a higher rate. At a certain point, that trust fund ran out of money starting in 2008. And what happens is you start borrowing from the federal government. As you know, states can't run a budget deficit. Only the federal government can do that. So this is the last sort of lender of resort on this kind of thing. What happens is then you've got to start repaying, which means we're going to be probably hitting employers with another $21 per worker tax per year to make up for this, which means, you know, it's going to get more costly, you know, because it's got to come from somewhere. At this point, last May, for instance, we were owing the feds about $2.2 billion in loan balances from the Department of Labor. So that's, you know, that's another hit just for the employers who are out there.
That was back in the good old days of 12% plus unemployment, right?
Yeah, well, now we've got 14.6. Of course, you know, we've been the worst in the nation for most of the last 3 years with a rare 1 or 2 month exemption here and there. And, of course, Ohio has just recently joined us in the double-digit club.
So, you make it sound fun, Brian. I knew you would.
Yeah, so welcome to our world.
You know, down here in Buckeye Land, there's probably a lot of people thinking big deal, but I also think that Ohio and Michigan have a lot more in common than they do different senses. And, Doug, when all of the human services and jobs directors get together, is it pretty much these Rust Belt states that are suffering along the same lines?
Right. Basically, as Brian says, we have a little triumphant between us and Michigan and Pennsylvania. We are currently all in the borrowing business. Here in Ohio, we're up to $1.9 billion that we have borrowed beginning at the beginning of January of 2009. And we are also in the double-digit club, as the says as well. And so it is a regional issue. Well, it's a national issue, but it's also more regional because of the amount of both automotive and then manufacturing, some of that manufacturing supporting automotive, whether that be tool and die or parts or some of those kinds of things. So it's kind of a domino effect.
So Brian talked about the $21 per worker fee, or however you want to put it, tax on employers. What is Ohio doing to replenish its unemployment fund, or what are its plans for doing that?
Here in Ohio, what we have is we actually have an entity known as the Unemployment Compensation Advisory Committee, whose responsibility it is to basically say, this is how Ohio is going to approach the repayment. At this point, and they come up with a recommendation and give it to the legislature. The department, in turn, supports that by giving them scenarios and what it means if you do $21 per worker or if you reduce benefits. At this point, we have not, or they have not, come up with a game plan, if you will, of exactly how to tackle it. If by chance we don't come up with a game plan, then the federal government kind of comes up with one for you.
Okay. We have to take a quick break. My guest, Douglas Lumpkin, he is director of the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, and also Brian O'Connor, he is personal finance editor and columnist for the Detroit News. If you have a question for either of them, Doug's going to be with us for another 20 minutes. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Henry Louis Gates Jr. believes there is power in knowing where you came from.
We are going to fill this blank family tree of yours each week, another rung, another branch.
I'm Neil Conan on the PBS series Faces of America. Henry Louis Gates finds that Yo-Yo Ma and Eva Longoria share an ancestor. Plus, from riches to rags, Madoff victim Alexandra Penny. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation is here from 2 until 4 right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 26 degrees in downtown Columbus under cloudy skies. Clouds today and a good chance of snow showers, a high of 30 degrees. Clouds tonight with a slight chance of snow overnight and a low of 24. Mostly cloudy on Thursday and a chance of a few snow flurries and a high of 33 for Thursday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher for another 20 minutes. We have Doug Lumpkin on in the studio with me. He's director of the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services. Also, Brian O'Connor from the Detroit News, where he is the personal finance editor and columnist. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll have a career consultant from Jewish Family Services and also one of his clients who is facing the loss of her unemployment benefits in a few months if the extension doesn't go through. And maybe even if it does, it's unclear necessarily that that means everybody gets an extension. So, Doug, what can you do for folks and what do you tell them? Well, first of all, are folks starting to call you in panic?
Back in December, as Brian was talking about, we faced an onslaught of calls to the tune of over 700,000 calls in the month. And compared to a year ago, that was about 300,000. And I think as we get closer to the end date again at the end of the month, we too will face that kind of onslaught, if you will, as people call in and say, what does this mean for me? And first of all, what I would encourage folks to do in the short term is to obviously talk to their Congress people and encourage them to pass some sort of extension. There are several bills out there, House and Senate. That would be number one. Number two, as we talked about earlier, many folks are now eligible for the earned income tax credit and should try to take advantage of that to help them here in this short term as well.
Brian, what do you tell people once the benefits are gone?
Well, you got to really start before that happens. I can tell you, I know that the Senate is recessed until February 22nd, mm-hmm. and I figure that that's when our phones will start ringing again in the newsroom with people asking what's going on with this, because it's not a lot of money. It's not quite the maximum benefit in Michigan is not quite $400 a week, but it's a whole heck of a lot better than nothing. Of course, one of the downsides to that is it's actually taxable, although the first $2,400 of unemployment assistance will be tax-free this year on your 1040. The first thing that people have to do is when they see any kind of instability in their workplace, don't delay. Start cutting back ahead of time. People need to have, a rainy day fund, emergency savings. If it's a really, not just a possibility, but you see a pretty good threat, some financial advisors even say at this point, stop saving to your retirement fund, whether it's an IRA or a 401k or stuff like that. Just sock that cash away and start cutting your expenses as much as you can, and really think about getting as radical as you can. Don't sort of say, well, if I lose my job, we have enough savings to go for a couple months and something will turn up. Mm-hmm. Because like you say, there are people who are on unemployment for, 99 weeks, and they're still not going to have a job by the time it runs out. So, you have to look at this as a 6-month or a 1-year event that you might have to deal with. And that might mean, moving in with your family, taking a boarder, parking one of the cars, canceling insurance, getting rid of cable, getting rid of internet, go to the library for, DVDs and online access and all that kind of stuff. What's that line in the movie? You know, I don't know why they call it Hamburger Helper. It tastes just fine by itself.
What is the state doing to counsel people on this?
Well, along that line, one of the other things on the other side of that coin is, should you take this as an opportunity, in essence, to get retooled? And there are a number of training opportunities, that the state is providing through its workforce investment boards in order to retool folks, whether that be in what's commonly known as some of the green jobs that are often spoken about, whether that be through higher education. Here in Ohio, the community colleges enrollment has gone up 23% during this recession as they've sought to get retooled. Another piece of that is you can now be eligible for Pell Grants if you're unemployed. So while you're cutting the expenses on one side of the house, you may also look for opportunities to get retrained on the other side of the house, because in some of our areas, manufacturing being one, you also have to figure out, is this job coming back? And if it's not coming back, what am I going to do now? And so we try to offer career counseling through our one-stops. And again, we also offer different types of training opportunities through our one-stops in our auto and manufacturing area. Brian mentioned the Trade Adjustment Act. There are opportunities for additional training in new things, if you will. And so I think people have to, obviously, in these difficult times, look to do both, i.e. cut expenses on one side. But then what am I going to do tomorrow? And there are training opportunities out there to kind of get retooled into something else as a secondary piece as well.
How's that going in Michigan, Brian?
Well, you know, it is pretty tough. We have seen, of course, a big surge in the retraining programs at community colleges, like Doug mentions, so that people are trying. I mean, we've also just seen, our unemployment rate would actually be higher if we actually had more people sticking around. I mean, people are leaving the state and to find other work and things like that. I think one of the other things that happens if you do lose a job is that, you know, you should be calling Doug's people right away. One of the mistakes that people make is they wait to apply for unemployment until maybe their savings runs out or until they determine that they can't get a new job. In a lot of places, the way you're unemployment compensation is calculated, you know, you may not qualify, or you will qualify for a reduced benefit. Call United Way and your church, your local legislatures, ask for all the help you can get. You know, there are a lot more people getting food stamps than unemployment benefits or public assistance because, for instance, they may not qualify. So, you know, that's something to think about. There are, you know, like Doug says, there are these retraining grants. There are these educational opportunities. There's daycare assistance. There's free tax help. Claiming all these tax credits, for instance, is not necessarily the easiest thing. But the IRS will give you a lot of help. And people, for instance, who may not know about the earned income tax credit, if they've qualified in past years, they can go back and file amended tax returns and claim it for the last 3 years. If you're a family with three qualifying children, that's several thousand dollars a year that you can go back and claim. But unfortunately, also like Doug says, you know, the call volume is increasing to more than double in a lot of these places. We had people who just couldn't file. Mm-hmm. We're having furloughs at my newspaper. So for the week that you're furloughed, you can collect unemployment. But, you know, you can't get through the phone because the state doesn't have a lot more money to add people in these offices, and yet the volume is increasing so that it takes a long time to get through, but it's worth doing. People just need to try and keep a good attitude and tell themselves, you know, this is serious, this isn't temporary, I can't ignore it. I just have to do the best thing and put my head down, and there's no shame in it because look around, everybody else is going through it too.
Or afraid they will be. If you're just joining us, this is All Sides with Ian Fisher on WOSU 820. My guests are Doug Lumpkin. He's director of the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, and also Brian O'Connor. He's the Detroit News personal finance editor and columnist. Doug, is it people on unemployment can work part-time? In other words, they could start to get their foot in the door of a business and work part-time. What does that do to their unemployment benefits, though?
If you move forward and you work part-time, the first 20%, depending on what you're collecting as your benefit, you're able to do with no reduction. After that, there is a formula that gradually reduces the amount of benefit that you were to receive. And so that's basically how the part-time piece works.
So it keeps it basically even in terms of earnings. Brian, what's the benefit of working part-time if you're going to not make any more money?
The benefit is that your unemployment, you know, benefits and assistance will eventually run out. I mean, the permanent solution, you know, is a job. And if that means, you know, working, you know, one, you know, Saturday afternoon at a store or something that where you can eventually develop a replacement job, it's probably the best thing. I think the other thing is also that when you're out like that, it does a lot for your mental attitude when you're unemployed. One of the biggest things that people complain about is, you know, now my full-time job is being unemployed. And just that sort of complete disorientation that comes from, you know, not having that social experience at work, not having sort of a purpose every day other than, you know, looking for a job where a lot of jobs might not be available. I think the other thing is that also that once you do something, you know, the more you do, the luckier you get. You know, being out there, you know, somebody's always, you know, retiring and moving to Florida. You know, somebody's always getting pregnant and deciding to stay home. I mean, if you're in a workplace, you can take advantage of sort of these unadvertised opportunities that come up, you know, of saying, gee, you know, we need to get the warehouse painted. Hey, me and my brother will paint the warehouse for $500.
Mm-hmm. I think the point that Brian makes is a good one that says you have to, again, attack it. And that's attacking it to make sure you try to get in as soon as you can when you're unemployed to get benefits. There are all of the states, Michigan included, has seen an uptick in the number of folks applying for food stamps, which is now called SNAP. You mentioned the United Way here in Central Ohio. You can call the United Way or the Second Harvest Food Bank and get free tax assistance with the earned income tax credit and that whole preparation piece. But you really have to attack it for your own psyche and consistent with what he says is, my new job is, how am I going to survive this?
You know, Doug, you were saying that, yeah, you've had to expand your services because of the expanding number, the increasing number of people that are going on unemployment. How do you train your folks to deal with a lot of the stress that people are going through? I mean, this is the worst possible thing that can happen to a lot of people in our society. Is to lose a job and have to go and ask.
Right. And we do put all of our folks through a training piece, and we try to help them understand that you are going to deal with individuals who are frustrated. And I try to implore them not to lose empathy for these individuals. They may have had difficulties not only with the job loss, but difficulties getting through to us, just given the volume that we've had. And so we try to train our folks and encourage our folks to know that you're going to deal with frustration, you're going to deal with anger, but to not lose empathy for those that we are serving.
Brian, what are the reports about how folks are being treated at this point when they got, you know, I've got a lot of friends in Michigan and who a lot of whom are unemployed, and they say it's kind of a mixed bag, you know, as far as the empathy goes and that feeling of you don't realize I've been waiting 2 hours to get through to you.
Well, you know, I think that's only natural. I mean, if you're seeing an unending line of, you know, of people are taking callers and it's a complicated system, you know, you can understand how it is sort of just natural for, you know, for people to somewhat disengage, if not just from becoming sort of inured to it, but just kind of also to protect their own, you know, psyche. You know, it is a complicated system. It is frustrating, but I think people have to understand that, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, nobody's going to care more about putting money in your pocket than you. And, you know, you just have to persevere and, you know, everybody's got the same problem. It's not something to take personally in that case of saying, you know, look, mm-hmm. the state doesn't have any more money. We have twice the volume of calls that we used to. It's a complicated system. All this money is coming from the federal government. They want people to, you know, prove need and abide by the rules. And that's just what you have to do. You know, if the other person on the end of the phone is, you know, is helpful and sympathetic and understanding, well, then that's, you know, the best possible outcome. But the fact is, you know, if they're cranky and overwhelmed themselves and they still give you the benefits, mm-hmm. that's what you want.
Okay. We're going to take
you
a
know,
quick...
Get your friends to make you, take you out for a drink and make you feel better.
Everyone pitch
in. Get the check from the state.
We're going to take a quick call now, and then we're going to have to take a break. So, Peter, you're on the air with Doug Lumpkin. I guess you want to talk to the director of the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, right? Okay. What's your question?
We had a family member who applied for unemployment benefits after being wrongfully fired. They initially sent the benefits out, and then they changed their decision and said that they were right to fire her. We went ahead and sent a letter and asking for an appeal review, and we never heard back. Who can we contact here in Columbus? We don't want to call the 800 number and talk to someone who's going to bring up, you know, the person's case file on a computer. Who can we talk to here in Columbus about getting this resolved? Because this person owes close to $4,000 back to the Bureau, which is wrong because she should never have been fired in the first place.
If you will give my office a call, the director's office.
You know what, Peter? I'm going to put you on. Okay. Go on, Doug.
If you will give the director's office a call, we will try to see if we can't assist in working through that. There are a number of factors that are involved, and it is a complicated system. But we're obviously wanting to work in a way that makes sure that people who deserve help are indeed helped. And so if you just call my office, the downtown office, at I'll give you this number at 466-6283, and we'll try to refer you to some help.
Okay, Peter?
I appreciate that.
Okay.
And
hey, Peter?
Yeah.
We got to take a break. You want to hold on?
No.
Okay.
Tell your readers, your listeners, I did call in Senator Voinovich's office.
Mm-hmm.
About extending the benefits, and he was unaware of it, according to someone here in his Columbus office. So people need to call in and tell him. He needs
okay.
to support extending this.
All righty. Good.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Peter. And, Doug, just one last comment before our break? Or?
No, I was just going to say that we did so in December, and we are about to here shortly send something to all of the Ohio delegation encouraging them to extend the unemployment benefits.
Okay. Doug Lumpkin, Director of the Ohio Department of Jobs and Family Services, thanks a lot for joining me today. Appreciate it. We'll be right back with Brian O'Connor, Detroit News personal finance editor and columnist, and also a career consultant and somebody who is facing the cutoff of their unemployment benefits themselves. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
I listen to NPR every day. It gives us insight into why people do what they do and have a passion for it. We hear from people in their words, and it's not the reporters telling us what this and that person said, whether it's about the economy in the United States or the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. I'm Bethany Donnell, and WOSU is my source for in-depth reporting in a soundbite age.
You are listening to WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides will be here. We'll hear about unsolved murders and reopening cold cases and homicides in Central Ohio with Columbus Dispatch reporter and Central Ohio Crime Stoppers President Kevin Miles. That discussion begins at 11 o'clock right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. 25 degrees in downtown Columbus, cloudy skies today with a good chance of a little snow and a high of 30 degrees. Clouds tonight and a chance of snow overnight as well, just some light snow and a low of 24 degrees. For Thursday, cloudy skies and there is a chance of a few snow flurries and a high of 33. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I lied. Brian O'Connor will not be with us for this last 20 minutes, I'm sorry to say. We have a technical limitation on that. So, but joining us right now, Justin Keaton. He is a career consultant with Jewish Family Services in Columbus. Welcome, Justin.
Hi, Ann. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks. How are you?
Great.
You're a pretty busy guy these days?
Exactly. At this point, with the Success Program, we are funded under the Workforce Investment Act. We partner with COIC, also known as Job Leaders, which is the one stop here in Columbus, Ohio. And we have up to 152 slots for this contract year of dislocated professionals that we can service to assist them with resources to reenter the workforce. And as of right now, here in February, we have enrolled all 152 that we needed to bring in for this particular contract year. So we are very busy trying to assist the dislocated professionals who will be cut off from benefits as of February 27th, and we're trying to assist them in locating bridge opportunities and other positions that they can really secure long-term meaningful employment.
What's your sense about how many of the folks that you counsel are facing a cutoff of unemployment benefits soon?
I would venture to guess a good 80 to 85% of the dislocated professionals that we're servicing through our program mm-hmm. will be cut off from benefits as of February 27th of 2010. And that's mainly due to the fact that by the time they contact us to enroll in the Success Program, they have already been in their unemployment or their employment search for at least 12 months or so. On average, it's 8 to 12 months.
I don't know if you were listening, but Brian O'Connor at the Detroit News encouraged people to start looking right away as soon as you know there's even a threat.
Exactly. That's the best way to really guard yourself against ending up without unemployment benefits or losing your COBRA benefits in this particular market. On average, human resource managers are receiving anywhere from 300 to 600 applications for each opening. And the sooner that you can hit the market aggressively, be proactive in your search, and file for your unemployment benefits as soon as you know that you will be laid off, even if you do have some severance compensation coming your way, the sooner you file for your unemployment benefits, the better.
Also joining us, Gail Patrick. Gail is a lawyer with 20 years of experience. For about 9 years, she was the director of the Legal Aid Society of Columbus, working on behalf of low-income people. Now she's looking for work. Her unemployment benefits are set to expire this spring sometime. Gail, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Where are you on the cutoff for unemployment at this point?
Well, I just started Tier 2 a couple of weeks ago, so I will get to finish that tier since I'll be in the middle of it on the 27th.
And did you go to Jewish Family Services for their success program, which I have not defined yet, but in it's just basically for out-of-work professionals. Did you go to them right away?
Yes, I did. Once I knew I was going to be laid off at Thanksgiving time in 2008, I started looking at all the different programs that assist displaced workers, and the Success Program really was the best resource that I could find, so I went there.
There are a lot of career counselors out there. In fact, I was just reading an article about how it's sort of boom time for them. They, the for-profit ones, they'll charge anywhere from, easily $500 to $1,000 a month for career counseling with the suggestion that 6 months is the typical time that you need the help. That's a lot of money. Was that something that you were able to do as an option?
No. I knew I couldn't afford that, and actually I had gone to a chapter of 40-plus and met 10 people there at the meeting I attended who had been using the pay services and had gotten nothing, and they'd been with them for 6 months or so.
So, Justin, tell us about the Success Program at Jewish Family Services. We've talked about it on the program, on All Sides before, but give us a real quick rundown of what you do and who you serve. Justin, I can't hear you.
Essentially, the Success Program is designed to assist dislocated professionals with resources to reenter the workforce. In the event that the dislocated professional can meet the objective and subjective criteria necessary to enroll into our program, the program would be free of charge to them. Now, under the Success Program, we do offer one free professionally written resume that will be written and reviewed by a certified professional resume writer. On average, you will find that career coaches and resume writers will charge up to $750 for one resume write. We offer this as a free resource as well as the workshops that we conduct and facilitate on LinkedIn. We do conduct workshops on mock interviews and how to overcome the behavioral interviewing portions of the search process. We also do focusing on the phone, which uncovers how to locate and pinpoint those hidden opportunities in the job market. We do mock interview assessments and a few other things. We do offer something of a support group that meets each and every Wednesday, which is called Connecting with Success. And that's where we have all of our clients come in, and we bring in a speaker from the local business community to discuss hard skills, soft skills, and ways to make our clients more marketable in their search. And one key thing that we do differently from other programs that I hear about is that we celebrate the success of each client. So each one of our clients has to come in and announce the success that they've had for the week to motivate them to continue in their search. It has been something that has been helpful in motivating a lot of our clients and has been effective in assisting us to maintain our 85% success placement rate over the past 5 years for our program.
Justin, why a special program for dislocated professionals?
Well, as I mentioned before, we do partner with COWIC, also known as Job Leaders, which is the local one-stop here in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
One of the areas that were underserved here in Columbus, Ohio, was the dislocated professional population. They were having a challenge with the services, resources, and placement of these particular individuals. They were excelling in placing individuals with manufacturing experience, entry-level positions, entry-level management experience. However, they didn't have the exact resources in place to assist in the placement for dislocated professionals who may have been mid-level managers, mm-hmm. senior-level managers.
Gail, I guess probably a lot of people listening right now think, oh my gosh, she's a lawyer and she can't find a job right now. What have you learned about what the challenge is at this point for someone in your position?
The challenge is for anyone who's in mid-level management or has been in upper-level management or an attorney or an accountant or anything is there are so many businesses that have gone out of business and so many places that have consolidated that the redundancy with the loss of jobs makes the competition very, very stiff.
What are your plans if there is not an extension at the federal level for the unemployment benefits? How are you planning ahead for that?
Oh, well, I really agreed with your earlier speaker. It says the day you know you might be unemployed, for sure you need to start changing your lifestyle. And it certainly wouldn't hurt if you did it once you see how unstable things are in general. I'm looking at selling my house. You know, I'm looking at moving in with family. Mm-hmm. That cuts out a lot of expenses.
How are you doing emotionally? Does it help to have this group or are there other, you know, that was my impression of success at Jewish Family Services in the very beginning when I first learned about it was just that camaraderie.
Oh, the emotional support is very helpful. We also serve as a resource to each other. If I hear of a job that might be appropriate for one of the other people in my class, I tell them about it. They've done the same for me. So that's been very helpful in the job search part of this line as you go through. As you're looking, you're telling all of your family and friends, but different people see different, come across different things because we all look at different job search niches. And you might see something in a niche that doesn't quite fit you, but mm-hmm. really would quite nicely fit someone else. So it's nice to be able to help somebody. It allows you to give back.
Justin, I just want to clarify that even though this is through Jewish Family Services, anybody who qualifies otherwise for the program can participate in it, right?
That is exactly right. We serve all of the Central Ohio community. As long as the individual has been laid off from a company that is located within the confines of Franklin County, or they themselves reside in Franklin County, we assist any and all individuals who can meet the objective and subjective criteria.
Now, the success program has been around for, what, 4 years now?
Just about 5 years.
Just about 5 years. How has your – now, you've been with them for about 2 years, is that right?
A little bit over a year.
Okay. Well,
you know. I was actually a client of the success program.
Oh, you were? Okay. It's hard to tell just from year dates. But how does the program change in its approach since there's been this huge surge in unemployment? There's so much more competition. I mean, back in the day when it first started, you know, there was worried about getting enough people to fulfill the grant obligation for the program in the first place. You know, they always did, but now your slots are filled right away.
Exactly. There has been a significant change in the way we operate the program. With the amount of unemployed individuals that are out there and the influx of unemployment and the people that are seeking employment, there has been an adjustment in the timeline as far as the enrollment and as far as the actual placement of each and every client that we have. Typically before, it would take on average 3 to 6 months to place individuals enrolled in our program. However, at this point, it's really teetering on that six-month period and possibly beyond that. However, we are still placing a lot of our clients within 4 to 6 months. However, on average, it is around that six-month mark.
Gail, where do you go? You have this group. Where else do you go to get that sort of emotional support? How else do you do this?
Well, I mean, you contact your family. You contact your friends. I mean, volunteering really provides a lot of a support. You try to give back to the community. You network. I mean, you go all over town. You make yourself visible. And it's amazing how gracious people in Central Ohio are in assisting you and in assisting other people. This is a town that really is very gracious.
You, we were talking earlier about the opportunity for people on unemployment to work part-time and also get their unemployment benefits. You know, everything would be rejiggered to reflect that, and the wages wouldn't change much, but you would be working. Is that a goal of yours at this point? If you don't get a full-time job, would you go for a part-time?
Oh, I have worked part-time.
Okay.
I've been a census taker. I've done hearing officer. I've done tutoring. So yes, I have done different kinds of part-time jobs on a continuing and on a project basis. I think it's really critical. The hard part is finding something that isn't project-based, because companies still are quite reluctant to hire somebody for their permanent staff.
Justin, we have just about a minute left. I was wondering if you have any parting advice for folks that are facing unemployment, that are in the midst of it. You know, what can they do? What should they be doing?
Well, if you're on unemployment or you're facing unemployment, my key point of advice that I would give is try to get back in the market any way that you can. If that be through a part-time opportunity, if it be through volunteering, get back in the market any way that you can to keep your skills current, to network from the inside out, to also get some sort of income, and to keep yourself abreast of what's going on in your industry, and really try to make the next step up. I have had a client or two that pursued part-time opportunities, although it wouldn't have really met their needs at that point in time. However, by pursuing that part-time opportunity, it led to a full-time position
okay. That
really compensated them where their needs were.
Okay, my thanks to Justin Keaton. He's a career consultant with Jewish Family Services and also one of his clients, Gail Patrick, a lawyer in Columbus looking for a job. Good luck, Gail. Wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
And thanks, Justin, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820, NPR News.
The Afghan Taliban's top military commander has been captured in a secret operation carried out jointly between the U.S. and Pakistan. On the next Fresh Air, Pakistani journalist Ahmed Rashid tells us about the implications of Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar's capture. And we'll talk about the new U.S. military offensive in Marja, Afghanistan, and secret negotiations with the Taliban. Join us.
Fresh Air begins at noon, right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher anytime with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/All Sides. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News. On Wednesday, February 17th, tonight at 8 p.m. on WOSU TV, in the second of a three-part series, joined acclaimed scholar Dr. Henry Gates as he explores the faces of America. Gates looks beyond the Black experience to the wider immigrant experience. Watch Faces of America tonight at 8 on WOSU TV. 27 degrees in downtown Columbus, cloudy skies with a slight chance of snow this afternoon and a high of 30 degrees. Good morning from WOSU 820.
There's just something about the phrase cold case files that gives me the creeps. Makes me think of unsolved crimes, of course, but most often about unsolved homicide cases and the corpses and the people they've left behind. Maybe I watch too much television, or maybe I'm reading too many stories by Holly Zachariah in the Columbus Dispatch. The award-winning journalist has started an occasional series to highlight cold case files, the victims and their families, and the evidence left behind. Holly will be with us to tell us what inspired the series and what keeps her working on it, along with Kevin Miles of Central Ohio Crime Stoppers. Join us on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.